Well, it's hard to believe that we've come to the final service of the week. And it has been a wonderful week. And again, I want to thank you so much for being here and being diligent to attend these services. Hallelujah. Well, let's think about something that we some things we've learned here this week. How many of you here were here and remember the message about the golden calf? Remember the story of how that Israel came out of Egypt, they came out of bondage, and they're headed toward the promised land. But for 400 years they'd been in bondage. So they really didn't know how to serve God or how to live in their freedom. So to them, it was perfectly natural to make this golden calf and worship it. And when you think about all the things that God had done for them, it's pretty amazing that they would do such a thing. They had been in bondage, and then God sends Moses to set them free. And God worked miracles through the various plagues. And then on the night before that they were released, they had the Passover, which included sacrificing the Passover lamb. Now, I don't know about you, but I would almost think that if they were going to make a golden anything, they might have made a golden lamb. But instead they made the golden calf. And to them that made perfect sense. Well, Moses had to come along and explain to them, no, this is not the thing you're supposed to do. Well, now, what if, while Moses was up there with God, I'm in the process of building this golden calf. So here I am with all my friends, and we're building this golden calf. And then here comes Peter. So Peter comes over to me and he taps me on the shoulder. And I turn around and I say, hey Peter, why don't you help us with this golden calf? And Peter says, I don't think that's a good idea. Peter says, that's not really the way that we should be worshiping God. I mean, a golden calf was something back in Egypt. And we're not back in Egypt anymore. We've been set free. So Peter says, that golden calf's not a good idea. And I look at Peter and I say, but Peter, how can you say that? Why, you were with us all the time. A golden calf is the way you do things. And Peter says, no, that's just not the right thing to do. Well, then here comes Moses down the mountain. And Moses says, what's wrong with you people? How could you build this golden calf? This is wrong and God is not happy. And then I look at Peter and I say, gee, I guess you were right. So what happened? Peter came to me and he gave me information. And even though I heard it from him and it was truth, I didn't accept it. Because I thought my way was the better way. But after I spent some time with Moses, I find out my way is not the right way. And I should have listened to Peter all along. Because Peter's a good man. Thank you. Now, that golden calf was just one incident of many that took place. Turn over to Exodus chapter 13. Now, we're not going to go through the entire book of Exodus and read everything that we could. You can read it yourself in your Bible. Now, in Exodus 13, I'm sorry, Numbers 13. Numbers 13. In Numbers 13, the people have come to the place where they're about ready to cross over into the Promised Land. And in Numbers 13, read verses 1 and 2. So God gives instructions for Moses to send men into the land, and they go out and they spy out the land. Then they come back and they begin to tell Moses and the rest of the people what they found. And they said, man, you should have seen it. It was incredible. Why, there were grapes as big as basketballs. They had bananas big as watermelons. And they had watermelons as big as Volkswagens. It was a beautiful land. They said, except one thing. There were giants in the land. And it was not good. And they said, as you can see, everything God told us was true about the fruit. But these giants are going to give us a hard time. Now read Numbers chapter 13, verse 32, through chapter 14, verse 4.
Now
So all the people are hearing this story about the wonderful fruit and the land flowing with milk and honey. But they also hear the report about these giants. And the Bible says that these spies began to spread an evil report among the people. And the people got very angry. And they went to Moses and they said, "What's wrong with you, Moses? What, you brought us out of Egypt just so we could get slaughtered by these giants? And they said, "Moses, we're going to fire you and hire somebody else to lead us back to Egypt." I mean, they had completely forgotten about the fact that God was able to set them free after 400 years of bondage. In other words, all the things that God had done for them, all the ways that He had been providing for them after they had left Egypt, it was like it completely escaped their memory. And not only that, but the Bible says that when they came out of Egypt, they plundered the Egyptians. They carried out of Egypt all this gold and all these valuable things and all these wonderful clothing. So here they are, an extremely wealthy people. And the Bible also says that when they came out of Egypt, there was not one feeble person among them. That means out of however many millions came out of Egypt, they were all miraculously healed. So now here they are, their bodies are completely healed, they're in good health. They have all this gold and silver and jewels. They have these clothes, nice clothes that they can wear. And yet, they don't think God can help them now. So they rise up against Moses. And God gets mad. Read what God says in Numbers chapter 14, verses 27 through 31.
주께서 모세와 아론에게 이런 말씀하시는 나를 거역하여 불평하는 약한 표정을 내가 언제 가르치느냐. 그대 나를 거역하여 불평하는 바 곧 이스라엘 자손의 불평들을 내가 들은가. 그들에게 말하라. 주가 말하라. 진실을 내가 살았거니와 내가 내 귀에 너희가 내 귀에 말하는 그대로 내가 너희에게 행하리니 너희의 시체가 이 광야에서 쓰러질 것이며 20대 이상으로 너희 전체 수위에 따라 너희 가운데서 계수하는 자 모든 자 즉 나를 거역하여 불평하는 자들 너희 자들이 너희는 여분의 아들 달렙과 누리 아들 여호수아를 제외하고는 내가 너희로 거기에서 살게 하리라고 맹세했던 그 땅에 절대로 들어가지 못하리라. 그러나 너희 어린 것들 즉 너희가 말하기를 먹이하겠다고 한 그들은 내가 데리고 들어가시니 그들은 너희가 멸시하였던 그 땅을 알게 될 것이다.
And so here they are. They think it's the smart thing to go back to Egypt.
그들의 생각에는 애굽으로 돌아가는 것이 가장 현명하고 그라고 생각했습니다.
Now, do you remember what happened to the Egyptian army when they tried to chase after the Israelites? Remember the story of the Red Sea? How that the waters parted so the Israelites could go across? But they came back in over the Egyptian army? Do you think it's possible that if the Israelites had gone back into Egypt, people would be happy to see them? Do you think if the Israelites went back into Egypt, there would be people there happy to see them come back?
Egyptians.
Egyptians. So, in their minds, they're thinking, giants! They're going to kill us! So the smart thing for us would be to go back to Egypt. And they're not even thinking about the fact there'd be a whole lot of people in Egypt wanting to kill them. But they think that's the smart thing to do. So God says, that's it, I've had it. He said, in another place it talks about how they rebelled against Him 10 times. Have you ever looked at your child and said, that's it, I've had it? I've told you time and time again, but you're not listening. So then, you do something about it, don't you? Well, in this passage, God has said, that does it, I've had it up to here. Time after time after time, I have demonstrated my power and my love for you. You start out with a golden calf and you haven't stopped. You just keep rebelling against me. So now here's what's going to happen. Every single one of you, 20 years old and up, will die in this wilderness. He says in verse 32 that their carcasses are going to lay on the land. And he says, but all of you, 19 and under, will go into the promised land. Now, what if you happen to be 20 years old? Would you be feeling pretty good right about now? 20 years old. You're thinking, I don't like this news. But what if you're 19? You might be thinking, but at the same time, what if you're 19 and you have 5 older brothers and sisters? And a mom and a dad. And a grandma and a grandpa. You're 19 and the youngest one in the family. And what you have just heard is the death sentence for your entire family. So maybe this news is part good and part bad. But then you also have the mothers with their little babies in their arms. And the mother looks down at the baby and she knows that she is going to die, but she knows that her little baby will make it into the promised land. So, over the next 40 years, people start dying. We have no idea how many million people died over that next 40-year period.
(Clears throat)
But the mother that had the little baby, that little baby was only 6 months old when they got that news.
자, 어린이를 안 그리는 그 어머니, 그 어린이는 이제 태어난 6개월 되지 않습니다.
That means that baby is going to be 40 years old when it gets to go into the promised land.
이 아이가 이제 약속의 땅으로 몇 살 됩니까? 40살이 돼 넘어야 이 약속의 땅.
So for the next 40 years, they continue wandering in the wilderness.
그래서 그 어린이는 그 광야에서 살아서 이제 부모님들이 불쌍하게 40년 동안 광야에서 이제 헤매게 됐습니다.
And the whole time that they're wandering, the older people are dying one by one. And according to archaeological studies, there were times when the Israelites passed through the same areas more than once.
자, 우리가 그 고고학적인 자료를 고고학적인 연구자료에 의하면 이스라엘 사람들은 40년 동안 방황해서 맨날 새로운 길만 방황한 것이 아니라 같은 길도 이렇게 지나갔다는 연구가 있습니다.
So it's very possible that some of these people who were 19 and under, as the years went by, actually walked by the graves of their family members.
그리고 만약에 그 당시 19살 미만 됐던 사람들은 자기들이 방황하는 가운데, 40년 동안 방황하는 가운데 자기들이 부모와 죽은 그 묘지를 옆을 지나가는 방황도 있었다는 것입니다.
And so as this, as the younger ones are growing up, the older ones are dying.
자, 젊은 애들은 점점 자라고 늙은 사람들은 점점 죽어.
The babies are rising up to replace the adults.
자, 어린아이들이 자라서 이제 어른들과 교체하는 때가 되는 것입니다.
Then finally, at the end of 40 years, the last person dies.
그리고 40년이 지나서 마지막 20살이 되는 그 사람 마지막 사람까지 죽어요.
Would you like to know who that person was?
그럼 그 사람 누군지 아시겠습니까?
Let me show you.
내가 보여드리겠습니다.
Look in Joshua chapter 1. And in Joshua chapter 1, read verses 1 and 2.
그때 주의종 모세가 죽어도 주께서 모세의 일꾼 우리 아들 여호수아에게 이런 말씀하시기를 내 종 모세가 죽어서 이제는 이 모든 백성 너와 이 모든 백성이 일어날 이 요단을 건너 내가 너를 즉 이스라엘 자손에게 주를 그 땅으로 가라.
Moses was the last one to die. Now, all this time that these people are dying, Moses is watching this happen before his very eyes. Now, back when God spoke to Moses and said, everyone 20 years old and older will die and not enter the promised land. I wonder if it hit Moses that he was over 20. In other words, I wonder if he caught on that he was going to be dying too. Why did Moses have to die? Because back in Exodus chapter 17, God told Moses to take his rod, strike the rock, and water would come out. Then later on, they needed water once again. And God told Moses to take his rod, but instead of striking the rock, God said, speak to the rock. But Moses got mad, and instead of speaking to it, he smacked the rock. And so God essentially said to Moses, all right, Moses, since you wouldn't trust me and you had to do this thing by your own power, you're not entering the promised land either. Now, Here are all these people. Here are all these little children that are growing up. And the only leader they've ever known is Moses. And they know what God has said. God said, all the people 20 and older are going to die. And all you 19 and under will live and go into the promised land. Now, at the time this was spoken, the little children, they wouldn't have been able to understand all of that. So they would have relied on the testimony of their family members. So when the little baby begins to grow and he's old enough to understand, his mommy begins telling him these things. She tells him about how they were in bondage in Egypt and Moses came and got them free. She tells him how they were at the Red Sea and the armies of Pharaoh were coming in, but Moses led them across dry land. She told her little child how that they were hungry and God worked through Moses when Moses cried out to God and manna was provided. And she told her child, when we were thirsty, Moses helped us get water from the rock. So this little child grows up hearing all these wonderful things about Moses. But he's also heard the story about how everybody 20 years and older is going to die. And he's been seeing people die as he grows up. So in his mind, he might be thinking, well, all these other people are going to die, but surely not Moses. I mean, Moses has been around my entire life. I mean, he's done so many wonderful things for us. Why, if it weren't for Moses, we wouldn't even be headed for the promised land. So, surely Moses isn't going to die. And so, the years go by and this little baby grows up and he's 6 years old. He's 12, he's 15. He's 20, he's 30, he's 35. And everybody else is dying. Except Moses. Except Moses. And so in his mind, he may still be thinking, you know, everybody else is dying, but man, look at that old man up there. He's still the leader of the pack. Surely he's not going to die. And then all of a sudden, one day, Moses dies. And Joshua steps before the people and he says, ladies and gentlemen, I have some sad news. Moses has passed away. And now we can go into the promised land. And finally, it hits this man who was just a little baby when this decree went forth from God, and now he's 40 years old. And he's hearing this news about Moses dying, and he's thinking, my goodness, you mean Even Moses had to die?
그 얘기를 다 듣고 보았던 사진도 다시 봤지만 아니 그렇지만 그래도 모세까지 다 죽어야 된단 말인가? 라고 이제 하게 되죠.
But Moses has been with me all my life.
모세는 내가 어렸을 때까지 평생 지켜본 이스라엘 있었단 말인가?
I mean, if anybody should be able to hang around, it ought to be Moses.
자, 정말 누가 하나 마지막에 살아있어야 한다면 모세가 살아있어야 되지 않겠나? 우리 지도자니까.
But at that moment, he realized that if he was going to enter into the promised land, even Moses had to die.
자, 그때 이 살던 사람은 자기가 약속했다는 생각에서 모세까지도 죽어야 된다는 것을 깨닫게 된 것입니다.
Okay, now what's the message in all of this to us?
자, 이것이 오늘날 우리에게는 어떤 말씀을 전하고 있는 일입니까?
Let's look in Scripture.
자, 성경 말씀 보겠습니다.
Turn over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, if you were to ask somebody, what is our promised land? Where are we headed? And the answer would probably be heaven, wouldn't it? And we sing songs about heaven, our promised land. And I do not disagree that heaven is our promised land for eternity. But what is our promised land now? Here on this earth, in this life, what is our promised land? Look right here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 17 through 18.
자, 고린도서 3장 17절부터 18절을 보겠습니다. 이제 그 영을 주시니 주 영이 계신 곳에는 자유가 있느니라. 그러나 우리를 통해 보는 것 같이 수발 벗은 얼굴로 주 영광을 보는 우리 모두는 주 영으로 말미암은 것 같이 영광에서 영광에는 똑같은 형상으로 변모되느니라.
Our promised land here on this earth in this life is total confirmation to the image of Jesus Christ.
자, 이 땅에서 우리가 이 생애를 통해서 우리가 들어가야 될 약속을 따른 예수 그리스도와 똑같은 사진을 보십니다.
When the Apostle Paul talked about him pressing toward the high mark of the calling of Christ.
그리스도의 부르심을 향하여 열심히 전진한다고 거듭말하는 말이 많지 않습니까?
He wasn't simply talking about having lots of money, a healed body, or a successful ministry. He was talking about pressing toward the mark of total confirmation to the image of Jesus Christ. That's why he talked about when I preach, the only thing I want is to know Jesus and Him crucified. In other words, he was saying, I want to be so dead to who I am that nothing is hindering me conforming to the image of Christ. So yes, power, anointing, glory, prosperity, all these things are wonderful. But those things aren't our promised land in this life. Our promised land in this life is the ability to conform completely to the image of Jesus. Now look in Romans chapter 8. Just like God had set the promised land before the Israelites, He has set the image of Christ before us. And just like all of those Israelites who were 19 and under wanted to go into the promised land. The problem was they couldn't as long as all the other older people were still alive.
자, 그 11살 미만 된 사람들이 전부 다 빨리 약속의 땅에 들어가고 싶어 하지만 이 늙은 사람들이 자기 20살 이상 된 늙은 사람들이 죽지 않으면 들어갈 수 없다는 것이 문제입니다.
So, one way to look at it is this.
또 다른 관점에서 본다면 이렇게 말할 수 있겠어요.
Some of those people 19 and under might have gotten excited every time somebody died.
다른 말하면
Because it meant, yeah, we're getting closer. Wonder if we put a little poison in their milk if it would help. Then they said, nah, that's against the Ten Commandments. We can't do that. So we're just going to have to wait this thing out. And personally, it's my opinion that after about 30 years, they stopped getting so sad every time somebody died. Because they're still out there in the wilderness. And I don't know, but maybe some of them were keeping count. Okay, that's another one down. How many to go? But nevertheless, they knew that until all of those 20 and older people died, they could not enter into the promised land. Now, all of that is a type and shadow for us. Let's look in the Bible some more. We want to enter our promised land. We want to conform to the full image of Jesus Christ. The problem is, our conforming to that image is not based on people dying. It's based on something else dying. It's based on us dying. In other words, us dying to self so that Jesus Christ can be exalted. Now, in the natural, the people of Israel, they knew what it was going to take for them to enter the promised land. All they had to do was go to somebody and ask, how old are you? And if they were old enough, then they knew, okay, you have to die. So they were able to identify in the natural. Everything in the natural that had to change before they could enter into the promised land. But as I'm conforming to the image of Christ, I can't look at you or something else and know that what you do enables me to conform to the image of Christ. In other words, it isn't your dying that helps me, it's mine. The problem is, I have to look internal instead of external to find out what those things are.
바깥에 있는 사람들이 이렇게 얼마 죽었나 이걸 봤지만 이제는 우리 그리스도인들은 내 속사람을 들여다봐야 합니다.
But I don't know what they are.
자, 문제는 뭐가 죽어야 되는지 모르고 있다는 거예요.
I want to conform to the image of Christ.
나는 예수님을 닮지 않습니다.
And I think I'm doing a good job.
그리고 내가 예수님 닮은데 아주 상당히 잘 나가고 있다고 생각하는데.
But yet, as I examine my life, I see that I'm still not fully doing the works of Jesus.
그러나 제 생애를 돌아보고 제 삶을 돌아보니까 나는 정말 완전한 예수님처럼 예수님 하신 일을 내가 행하면서 그렇게 온전한 예수님 같은 삶을 살고 있지 못하다는 것을 나는 발견하고 있습니다.
So, even though I started conforming to that image the moment that I got born again, the thing is, I'm still not there.
제가 예수님 믿고 거듭난 순간부터 예수님을 닮기 시작했지만 아직도 완전히 예수님을 닮지 못하고 있습니다.
And I don't know what to do.
참, 지금 어떻게 해야 되는지 알지 못합니다.
Now think about our sermon last night.
어제 설교 한번 다시 한번 기억해보십시오.
Who knows what to do?
어떻게 해야 되는지 누가 알고 계시죠?
Very good. Look in Romans chapter 8 and read verse 26.
이와시 성령께서 우리의 연약함을 도우시나니 이는 우리가 마땅히 기도해야 할 것을 알지 못하나 성령께서 친히 말할 수 없는 신으로 우리를 위하여 중보하시기 때문이라.
Now in this message today, that word infirmities is speaking of all the old people in our life.
자, 여기서 연약함은 바로 우리 그 이스라엘 사람들에게는 그 우리보다 나이 많은 바로 그 사람들이죠.
나는
그때 오래 지금 안 되는 겁니까?
Now I'm not speaking about old people in the natural.
참, 여러분 지금 육신으로 나이 든 사람을 지금 얘기하고 있는 게 아니에요.
I'm using that as an illustration relative to what happened back in the Old Testament.
구약 성경에 있었던 그 예를 같은 예언을 든 겁니다.
In the Old Testament, they could look at all of the infirmities.
야, 구약 시대에는 그들 연약함을 다 눈으로 볼 수 있었습니다. 이 사람들이 안 죽어서 아직 우리가 못 들어간다. 이걸 다 눈으로 볼 수 있었지만,
their infirmities were all the people 20 years old and older.
그들이 연약함, 즉 그들이 약속에 들어가지 못한 것은 바로 자기들보다 나이가 20대 이상 된 그 나이 든 사람들 때문에 못 들어간 겁니다.
But I'm not able to look around and see my infirmities.
그러나 나는 내 자신의 이 연약함을 내가 이렇게 눈에 볼 수가 없단 말이에요.
Because my infirmities are on the inside, not on the outside.
나의 연약함은 이렇게 눈에 보이는 바깥에 있는 것이 아니라 내 속에 있기 때문입니다.
Now, with Israel, all those people 19 and under who were growing up, they knew what to pray about.
자, 그래서 이스라엘 사람들은 그 19세 미만의 그 젊은 사람들은 그들이 무엇을 기도해야 되는지 알고 있습니다.
They could have prayed, "Oh God, please kill all these old people." Thing is, I don't know what to pray about. I might be able to identify a few things in my life that are infirmities.
아, 그래서 나는 몇 가지 한 사람의 연약함이 나한테 연약함이 있다는 걸 발견할 수 있을지 모르겠어요.
But the Holy Spirit knows where all of them are inside me.
그러나 성령님께서는 내 속에 그 연약함에 관계된 모든 것들을 다 알고 계십니다.
He may look on the inside of me and see that I have a real problem with unforgiveness that I don't think I have.
내가 생각에 나는 그게 없다고 생각하는데 성령님은 딱 보시고서 아직 용서하지 못하는 게 있다고 지적한다면 나는 없다고 생각하는데.
And that's a major problem.
그게 진짜 큰 문제죠.
Because the Bible says that we are supposed to forgive as we are forgiven.
자, 우리가 용서받은 것처럼 우리도 남을 용서해 줘야 된다고 성경 말하고 있기 때문에 용서하지 못하는 걸 심각한 문제죠.
So if I'm holding any unforgiveness, that unforgiveness is an infirmity keeping me from conforming to the image of Jesus.
내가 누군가를 용서하지 못하고 있다면 그 내가 용서해주지 못한 그 연약함이 바로 나로 하여금 예수님을 닮게 하고 약속의 땅에 들어가게 하지 못하게 하는 장애로 내 안에 남아있다는 겁니다.
But I don't see it as a problem.
그런데 나는 그 문제가 있다고 생각하지 않습니다.
So I'm not going to pray about it.
그래서 나는 그 문제 있다고 나는 생각하지 않기 때문에 그것에 대해서 기도도 안 합니다.
But the Holy Spirit knows it's a big problem.
성령의 말이
So when I begin to pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit is going to pray through me according to what needs to be changed.
자, 그래서 내가 마음으로 기도하기 시작하면은 성령님께서 하나님의 뜻을 따라 나는 그거 안으로 생각하는데 나는 문제 없는 사람이 생각하는데 하나님의 뜻을 따라 정확하게 기도하신다는 겁니다.
So I might go to God and say, Oh God, I need a new Cadillac, so I'm going to pray in tongues about it. I need a new Ecus. And so I begin to pray in tongues. And I think that I'm praying for this Ecus. And God's up in heaven and he just kind of chuckles. He says, look at that, son. And Jesus looks over and says, Father says, he thinks he's praying about a new Ecus. But he's really praying about his unforgiveness problem. And son, you know what he's going to do. He's going to complain to us because he didn't get his new Ecus. But the whole time, he's dumping that unforgiveness. Because a new Ecus is not going to help you conform to the image of Christ. But getting rid of the unforgiveness will. So the more that I'm praying in tongues, the Holy Spirit is helping me in the area of those infirmities. And he's helping me get past me so I can conform to him. Now remember, in our story of the Israelites, how that as the little ones were growing up, those babies became bigger and stronger.
그때 태어났던 그 어린 아이들이 지금 40년 동안 상상하는 게 잘하고 커가는 걸 한번 상상해 보세요.
And as those babies were growing and getting bigger and stronger, the old people were dying off.
자, 그 어린 아이들이 점점 자라서 나이가 들고 40에 가까운 가까울수록 나이 든 사람들은 거의 다 죽어가고 없었다는 것이죠.
Now let's see something in Scripture.
성경을 한번 봐.
Look over in 1 Peter chapter 2.
2장.
In 1 Peter chapter 2, read verses 1 and 2.
베드로전서 2장 1, 2절 읽겠습니다. 그러므로 모든 악의와 모든 속임수와 위선과 시기와 온갖 비방하는 말을 버리고 가난한 아이들로서 순수한 말씀이 저들을 삼아라. 이는 너희가 그것을 인하여 자라게 하려 함이니라.
Notice he's talking about newborn babes. And he's talking about the newborn babes growing. And he says, as newborn babes, desire God's word or his truth so that you can grow. And he's not talking about natural babies, he's talking about spiritual babies. Because just like in the natural, when a new person is born, they start off as a little baby. Well, in the realm of the spirit, when we get born again, we're born again as little spiritual babies.
Yeah,
And so we are supposed to feast on the Word of God so that we can grow and become bigger and stronger spiritually.
어린아이가 젖을 먹으면서 점점 자라듯이 우리도 하나님의 순수한 말씀을 이렇게 먹으므로 우리 영이 자랄 수 있습니다.
Now look over in Ephesians.
에베소서 보겠습니다.
Ephesians chapter 4.
에베소서
And read verses 22 through 24.
이전 행실에 관하여는 기만의 요구만에 따라 썩어지는 옛사람을 벗어버리고 너희 생각을 영안에서 새롭게 되어 하나님을 따라 의와 참된 거룩함 안에서 충전된 새 사람을 입으라.
Notice in here he says to put off the old man.
옛사람을 벗어버리라 그 말씀입니다.
And put on the new man.
그리고 새 사람을 입으라.
Who's the new man?
새 사람을 입으라.
It's my born again spirit.
나의 거듭난 영이 바로 새 사람입니다.
And over there in Peter, he says, as newborn babes, you're supposed to be growing in the Lord. So when I get born again, I'm a little baby. But my old man is still big and strong. And my old man happens to be over 20 years old. So if I'm going to enter into the promised land of totally conforming to the image of Christ, the old man has to die. And just like in the natural, as those little Israelite babies grew bigger and bigger and stronger, all the old men were dying.
자, 이스라엘 사람들과 같이 그 어린 아이가 이제 자라서 점점 커서 40이 될 때까지 그 20세 이상 되었던 사람들은 다 죽었어야 하는 것입니다.
And when the last old man died, that's when they could enter into the promised land.
그래서 마지막 그 나이 든 사람이 모세가 죽자 그 드디어 그들이 약속의 땅에 들어갈 수 있었습니다.
The Holy Spirit knows where all of my old men are.
자, 내 안에 이 바로 나이 든 사람들이 누군지 성령을 적게 알고 있습니다.
And he knows that they have to die before I can fully conform to the image of Jesus. But I look down and I can't see them. But he knows where they're hiding. And so as I begin to pray in the Spirit, it releases the anointing of the Holy Spirit to work in me, with me, to put to death all those old men. And remember with Israel how the last old man to die was Moses? And how there may have been people who thought, surely Moses doesn't have to die. He's been with me all his life. He's never done me any wrong. So he shouldn't have to die. But God says, look, if you're going into the promised land, even Moses has to die. So as I begin spending time with the Holy Spirit and praying in tongues, He's helping me put to death all of the old men of the infirmities. But if I'm going to conform to the image of Christ, all those old men have to die. Including my Moses. The very thing that I don't think is a problem. But God, I don't understand. Why does this thing have to change? I mean, God, it's never hurt me. It's never hurt anybody else. Why does this thing have to die? And God says, because you're looking at it through your eyes and I'm looking at it through mine. And I see this Moses in your life as being the last infirmity keeping you from conforming to the image of my son. And so now I have a choice. I can keep praying in the Spirit until my Moses is dead. Or I can say, but I just can't give that up. And I can keep praying in tongues, thinking I'm receiving a greater anointing of power. But in reality, the Holy Spirit is helping me with this old man. I'm thinking, more power. And Holy Spirit is thinking, Moses. And he's saying, I've got all this power right here, but you're not getting another ounce of it until you deal with that Moses. Because as long as you're holding on to your Moses, if I release this much power through you, it's going to hurt somebody. You're going to do something that's going to hurt somebody's life. So, you have reached the limit of anointing that you can walk in until you get rid of that Moses. Now, I stand here today just like you. I've only got one more infirmity to get rid of. Bless you. I've only got one more infirmity to get rid of.
You say you think you are only one more?
I'm just like you. I only have one more infirmity to get rid of. Everything else in my life is all right. And God is looking at me saying, oh no. If you only knew what I could see. He says, you've got a bunch of infirmities left that you don't even know about. But if you just keep praying in the Spirit, eventually they will go. And then I will conform to the image of Christ. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to conform to the image of Christ. So I'm going to pray in the Spirit. Praise God. Everybody stand.